and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right, a very brilliant progressive woman. Not me, but Rachel Maddow will be here in just a few minutes, so stay tuned. Buy a bike for a blind girl. Active.com/donate. Kimboroitz. KimboroitzCZ. Somebody sold her bike over the winter. That's an sponsorship on the Stephanie Miller Show. Go to StephanieMiller.com, and you can find out how to sponsor an hour. I don't think Rachel has to do those, but all right.
That was very important.
Yes, it was. StephanieMiller.com. You can go to the sponsorship page. You can email us there. By the way, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. We have those $50 Sherry's Berries gift certificates. Or go to berries.com, click Stephanie in the sponsorship box. All right. It's like Progressive Radio Old Home Week, everybody. David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
Good morning, David Bender.
Good morning. You were making those hand gestures. Yeah. You can't see them on radio.
Well, because you know how I am. I'm in Hollywood, and I see you there, but there's a much bigger name already on the phone.
Oh.
So spread out. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Progressive Royalty. Rachel Maddow joins us now. Good morning, Rachel.
Oh, do I have a say? I don't have a song, do I?
We would have made a jingle had we known we'd be lucky enough to get you.
Oh, well, lucky enough meaning you called?
Meaning your dad produces my radio show now, essentially. You know that.
Yeah. Dad wanted to make sure that I was going to be on time for this interview, that I knew exactly. He wanted to make sure that I was all set up. There were no issues. He's taking care of all of us.
Chris, now what was Bob's direction yesterday? He would like us to play Send in the Clowns whenever we talk about the Republican 2012 field. And we do?
And it will be so.
Yeah.
You listen to your father, and look how things turned out for you. So if I hope to be anywhere near as successful, I will listen to Bob Maddow as well.
That's right. You know, if we all listen to Bob Maddow, ultimately we'll be very conservation-minded with our water. We'll have excellent and hard-edged public progressive radio and television, and we'll all love a nice lady named Elaine.
Elaine Maddow. Yeah. Rachel, you can confirm that this is not just something made up on the Stephanie Miller Show like many things are. I have actually spilled wine on pretty much every member of your immediate family. Correct?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Big time. And you know, in a way that made us like you more, which was which is the weird thing. You can do things with projectiles that most people can't.
Well, being a mixologist yourself, you appreciated that I basically baptized your family in wine.
or what is it when you get the oil anointed?
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Now
it's a religious experience.
Yeah, I was shocked yesterday. Apparently, Bob, you had not told him you were going to be on, and I can't imagine when you got a Rhodes Scholarship or got your own television show or were named Breakout Star of 2008 or were named Best Television of 2008 or, named one of the top shows of the decade by the Washington Post. I can't imagine that of all those accomplishments, you didn't tell him you were going to be on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I had.
Slipped your mind, did it?
You're busy? Is that what you're trying to say?
You've nailed me, Miller. You meddling kids. Yeah. I have no rejoinder.
Now, we have lots to get to, but I have to tell you, this is kind of hilarious to me that we have the Seattle Town Hall coming up with all the progressive hosts that we do every year, which we love for our station there. And I remember the first one you actually moderated. And there you are, brilliant Rhodes Scholar. And I remember we had questions from the audience. Do you remember you said, yes, I've got some questions here written down. The most of which I've gotten are, will Stephanie sign my ass?
There were questions about signing people's asses. There was also questions about being future husbands, but a lot of box of wine questions too. You bring out the deep thoughts.
Yes, well, and thank God you've escaped that. Rachel, speaking of which, David Bender, your political guru, is here, who of course I stole from you. I was saying I think straight girls fight over big dumb guys. We fight over smart political geeks like Bender.
Hi, Bendy. How are are you?
I am great.
Bendy?
Bendy. Yes.
Is that what she calls
it? Like a straw.
Well, it's actually like Gumby and Pokey.
Okay.
It's I'm a bendable figure. That's really what this is. But I'm having my own flashback. It doesn't involve a box of wine, but it involves campaign countdown.
Oh, yeah. That was the best thing I ever did, man.
And I'm not even going there, but we did five Sundays right up to the 2004 election when we were all absolutely convinced that it was going to culminate with John Kerry's presidency.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what tells you about thinking about elections too far in advance.
Yeah.
You know, like all these great front runners now that we have, it's so amazing.
Rachel, I can't even begin to imagine what, as an esteemed journalist, you think of this, as we call it, the insane clown posse, the Republican field thus far for 2012.
Well, the amazing thing is that there isn't a field. It seems like Mitt Romney wants to run,
right,
and Michelle Bachmann and the pizza guy and, Mike Huckabee sort of half got out of South Carolina yesterday and then denied that meant that he wasn't running, but it really looks like he's not running.
Yeah.
Haley Barbour is not running. We haven't had news that any of the other governors who want to be famous are going to be running. I mean, does this all depend on whether or not John Huntsman can make himself famous? There isn't a field at all, and that in itself is the most interesting thing about it, is that it's only a good idea to be even pretending to run for president right now on the Republican side if you have a book to sell or some Newt Gingrich, like, direct mail web advertising scam business that you want to use to monetize it. But if you're not monetizing it, there's no reason to do it right now.
Yeah, well, Newt Gingrich just told me I won the lottery in Nigeria. Don't I need to just send him a... Rachel, speaking of journalism, weirdest day in your life yesterday, the split screen of the leader of the free world and, as he called him, Carnival Barker, Donald Trump, on the other side.
You know, it was so, the split screen is the exact right reference, because that was the thing that made me feel like, all right, I don't do drugs, but I'm clearly high, because this can't be happening. But then, when Obama started to talk, I felt like there was a return to normalcy, because what he said, at the top of his remarks, he said, we've released that birth certificate thing that you guys wanted to see, and that's it. He didn't address it substantively at all. The rest of it was, and I can't believe you're making me do this. You ought to be ashamed.
Rachel, that's the point I wanted to ask you about. I wondered if you had the same feeling I did. It made me sick to my stomach. We had a black man call yesterday shortly after this, crying, literally crying on the air. And it makes me sick. And I don't know how you handle this in journalism, where it's a story, I guess, you know, you have to cover because it's in the news. And yet it had that sick feeling of, look at how we made the black man tap dance for us. You know, I mean, it what's your take on that?
Well, I think in a case like this, it's like political science is of help. Political science helps you look at, instead of thinking about it in an almost academic way, allows you to look at actors in terms of what their goals are, what their incentives are, and what it makes sense they will continue to do even as circumstances change. And that's why we're getting this thing, is because of the people who are pushing it. We're not getting it because there is any substantive issue about the president's citizenship. There really isn't. There never was. And if anybody believed that there was, that's absolutely laid to rest, and not only laid to rest, but exhumed and then laid and checked and laid to rest again. It's over. It's not about that. It's people who are making money on it, on the right, the World Net Daily people. They are making money off of it and trying to make themselves famous. And Republican politicians are pushing it so that they can capitalize on racist feelings about the illegitimacy of a black man being in the White House.
But how ridiculous is Donald Trump? I literally yesterday, I'm watching this thinking, what, are we going to Snooki next to see what she thinks? It's like, what other reality star would be fascinated to know?
I don't think the Snooki thing is that weird. Honestly, no. Imagine it. Do a thought experiment. Imagine if some character from Jersey Shore, let's say, who's the taller girl? J-Wow. Let's say J-Wow is going to run for something. And she gives some sort of sober address about being a business person and speaking to the young people of America, and she has some sort of interesting pageant-style platform. And then she starts talking about whether or not the president should have gotten into Harvard.
Yeah. How do you make those decisions in journalism, though?
That would be cable news.
How do you? But that's what I'm saying. How do you? You know, you got to get ratings. You got to cover things, and yet you just think. I think it was George Stephanopoulos at least asked Trump, you know, will you release your tax returns? And he said, yeah, when the president, you know, releases his birth certificate. It's like, is someone going to hold him to that? You know, or now we're going to have to look at the president's kindergarten essays and his college record. I mean, it really is incredible.
Getting into that, though, just getting into that kind of back and forth with somebody who is pushing this for the reasons that Trump is pushing this is playing his game. It means that you've allowed him to set up the framing, and then you've jumped in with him, and you've allowed him to decide what kind of news there is. I think the way to cover it is to say, what is the advantage of Donald Trump to doing this? Donald Trump is doing this to capitalize on latent white racist feelings about this president, and trafficking in racism is something that we should figure out is going whether or not that's allowed to give you political currency in American politics. It's happened in the past. David Duke was elected to office in 1989, right? It works. There are people who traffic in this. Are we going to let it happen at the national level? That's the way to cover it. Those are the questions to ask, not tell me more about your beliefs about where the birth certificate might be, Mr. Trump. That's ridiculous.
What? Exactly. I mean, this is what, you know, it's like, when do we stop paying attention? It's just, oh, you know, he has to get off his basketball court. Oh, he's got, I mean, it's just, this is becoming more and more just blatantly racist. And you know, I was just sort of disgusted yesterday.
But it's the sideshow that happens the year before an election actually happens. And we're going to forget all of this. This guy is the stalking hare. There used to be stalking horses. We've got stalking hare now. He will be gone. No one will be talking about him come next January. Or February. The question is, who will they be talking about? That would be, Rachel, my question to you. I think we're going to see people like Mitch Daniels and maybe even Jeb Bush get into this when the adults take over, when they come back in, say, November, December of this year.
So who do you think the field's going to be now, Ben? Do you think it's going to be Romney, Daniels, maybe Jeb? Who else?
That would be it. I think Romney is going to spend all of his money and come in second again. And I think Mitch Daniels, now that Haley Barbour's out there, great friends. I think Mitch Daniels gets in. But I think ultimately the Republicans are looking for someone who can actually win. And
What about John Huntsman?
He's pretty.
And he's an Obama appointee. Good luck to him.
He has to win the Mormon off first with Romney, though.
How can it be worse, though, to be an Obama appointee who served in China? How can that be worse than being George W. Bush's budget director? I mean, Mitch Daniels oversaw the thing that Republicans now beat themselves with in public in terms of the Tea Party and fake fiscal conservatism, fake fiscal conservatism on the right. You can't be George W. Bush's budget director and have the charisma of Mitch Daniels and win the presidential nomination.
Unless you're Donald Trump criticizing us buying things from China and then your suit line is made in China, that would be equally embarrassing.
We could call him Trump Wow.
Trump Wow.
Rachel, will you be covering the tragic story tonight that Donald Trump's fake investigators apparently collided with some of O.J. Simpson's fake investigators?
If I did it, right?
It was a pile-up, yes.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
It really is. Rachel, we so appreciate your time, and I couldn't be prouder of you. You remember when you got the show, I sent you all caps and emoticons. I was so excited. And David Bender and I drink at my house and just totally geek out over you, even though we know you.
Oh, well, listen, you know, I'll be on with you guys whenever you want. All you have to do is call Bob.
Listen, Bob is your booker.
We've learned that.
Calendar. Yeah. Thanks, you guys. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Rachel. Talk to you soon. There she goes, Rachel Maddow. She's so great. I swear to God, I'm going all Chris Farley on her ass. Was that embarrassing? I know her. I've worked with her for years. And I'm like,
she's like Paul McCartney. We're not worthy.
When I saw her last time in New York, I'm like, remember when you're on Meet the President and you said a Dick Army? I'm like, oh my God, pull yourself together.
What's wrong with you?
Bender and I are political geeks. Rachel Maddow is like our religion. We don't even...
She's pretty good.
And you know what? I love that she knows who JWoww is.
That's what your eyes lit up. That's like, where you got happy.
Wow.
She knows
smart
everything.
And pop culture. That's my kind of lesbian.
She's the first person who told me about Kanye West. I remember this vividly. It's like, who? And she went, Kanye. You don't know Kanye?
Yeah.
You need to get this CD.
Yeah.
That's Rachel Maddow.
Here's what I love is that Bob Maddow has such a varied taste in progressive broadcasters. Rachel says, yeah, my dad's kind of obsessed with you. He listens every day. He calls me every day to tell me what you said. I'm picturing Rachel really busy at the network. Okay, Dad. Yeah, I do this too, and I'm much more successful. But thank you, click. Okay. Thanks for calling, Dad.
And you know what? We're going to be rerunning that interview. In case you came in halfway through, we're going to be rerunning it in hour three of the show today.
Yes. She's quite good at that, it turns out.
As it happens. As a matter of fact.
Okay. Look at me. I'm all giddy. Okay. You know, kids, when David Bender and I had to go to a meeting yesterday, and he told me Rachel Maddow was going to be on the show, I... Listen, I almost...
Wait a minute. You were in the same house yesterday. Why did you have a go-to meeting?
Because I'm addicted to it. I'm addicted to it like I'm addicted to Rachel Maddow's
show.
It's
a big house.
Okay.
Yes, it's very big.
Big and rambling.
Listen, I'm drunk. I'm not walking upstairs. But what time is Rachel coming on? With GoToMeeting, everyone can join an online meeting in seconds from wherever they are, whatever floor. Whatever wing of the Miller
compound.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
GoToMeeting allows you to streamline your communications process, collaborate better, and drastically improve your productivity. With GoToMeeting, voice over IP and phone conferencing are included. There you are. I don't even have to send the butler up to tell David.
And can I tell you,
I've got voice over IP with GoToMeeting.
You do. I didn't know what time it was, so I went to my Carbonite backup.
Thank you.
And then I found out, and then I could GoToMeeting.
All right, listen, get your endorsement out of mine.
Yeah, Carbonite comes later on in the show.
Yes. GoToMeeting, you can try it free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. If you use the promo code Stephanie, visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the try it free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. GoToMeeting.com. Promo code Stephanie. 21 minutes after the hour. Oh.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show. Ah, oh, shush. 26 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12.
I love women.
Yeah, if Rachel were live in the studio, we would have gotten to a hair-pulling chick fight over you, David Bender.
But
her political guru. You're mine now.
I love women. I do.
All right. So lots to get to this hour. Carl Frisch joins us next hour to host Right Wing World. You know, I was saying to Rachel, David, that did you have that same reaction? I literally felt sick to my stomach. I mean, you know what it reminded me of? I was a big Lawrence Welk fan. Which shows you exactly how young and hip I am.
One, a two, a three.
He felt like, oh my God, this is like the you know, the black tap dancing guy. I'm like, really? Donald Trump is taking it just, and then it's like, oh, and we don't. When Donald Trump said, oh, I don't know, we'll have to examine this. Didn't it remind you of the old black, you know, voter registration questions they have
absolutely.
To answer? Like, oh, you know, dance for us.
Yeah, poll taxes. The whole business. But you had it exactly right. It was O.J. That's what it was. Because remember the same split-screen effect during the O.J. trial? We're all old enough to remember that.
Yeah.
That's what this was. The fact that the country could actually be giving an equivalency, a false equivalency, to this lunatic self-promoter, a carnival barker.
Yeah.
That was the great line.
Well, listen, out here, you know, of course, we're out here near Orange County where this woman superimposed the president's face on a chimp and, you know, with chimp parents, and so now we know why no birth certificate, and that's what's funny to Republicans out here. And I literally thought, oh, what's the next birther, you know, cartoon going to be? You know, the president's face on an organ grinder monkey and, you know, dance for us. I mean, it just, I'm like, this is the president of the United States, and it just made me sick in 2011.
And we've only had one illegitimate president in the last 100 years.
Yes.
And it was the last one.
Yes.
That's the guy who actually, if you want to do an investigation, he lost the election and became president. That's the truth, if we're talking truth.
And if I could say so. Actually resembled a chimp. If you go to busherchimp.com, I don't know if it's still up.
It should be. It's
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Check out a lot of the facial expressions.
That's not racist. That's anthropologically true.
Yep.
Yes. Just like I've been called racist for mentioning that John Boner is orange. You can't be racist mentioning that a white man that chooses to be orange is orange.
He's not a color.
It makes you orangest, I suppose.
He looks like a Fanta.
But that's why I'm going to Syracuse, New York with the Sexy Liberal
there
Show
go,
on May 14th.
The good orange
to
people.
To show that I am a people of, I want to be with the people of orange.
I love the blacks. I love the orange.
All right, speaking of Sexy Liberal Show, another big announcement after the break here, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
If you had a full set of curves and the kind of legs you'd like to suck on for a day. Yep. This was starting to get interesting.
Boy, howdy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. Okay. What's today? Thursday, carry the forward. Tomorrow, Friday, 10 a.m., guess what goes on sale? Mm-hmm.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show World Tour. Conquer the North by selling out venues above the Mason-Dixon line. Now, the war of liberal aggression is ready to invade the South. And they're going to Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina.
Gone to Carolina in my mind.
This is the damnedest season I've ever seen. I mean, Durham can't lose and I can't get away.
On June 4th at the Durham Performing Arts Center, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and progressive radio idol Stephanie Miller will save our union one liberal laugh at a time. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000. It will turn brother against brother as they fight over VIP meet and greet tickets. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show, Saturday, June 4th in North Carolina at the Durham Performing Arts Center.
Thank you, Shano.
Shano puts all of those together.
Oh, awesome.
He is so great.
He is terrific. Other fine American dates coming up. Saturday, May 14th is our next one in Syracuse, as I mentioned. Then Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill, Saturday, June 4th. Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. And more to come,
yes.
I'm told.
And by the way,
by the sexy liberal elves.
That's right. And Shano and Left Neck Chick are going to be at the one in Syracuse.
Yeah. We're getting together with the marriage equality folks and the anti-fracking folks, and we have this all planned. I think we're going to have the ecclesiastical MOOC marry a gay couple on stage. We're going to light some frack water on fire, and then we're all going to dance Baby, I Was Born This Way.
We're getting married on stage?
No.
I didn't get the memo.
An actual gay couple.
No one tells me anything.
Jerry in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jer.
Hey, Mama Mooks, I'm hoping the sexy liberal tour will come to the Motor City.
Really? Well, I wonder if that might happen. Well, yes. Yes.
Well, listen, did you check out last night on MSNBC that little shouting match between Lawrence O'Donnell?
Listen, Lawrence O'Donnell is my porn anyway. I thought the Bullets promo could not, nothing could ever make me hotter, Jerry, and now I have new porn. It's the Orly Tates interview.
I saw the end of that.
Let me finish! And she will not finish, as it turns out. I mean,
she is finished.
She is finished.
I mean, each time she tried to bring that up.
Yeah, my friend Trish, that has an equal crush on Lawrence O'Donnell, was texting me through the whole thing. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Dare you watch Lawrence? He's so awesome. Yeah, I know. It was great, wasn't it? I mean, he just, when he's angry, it's so real, right?
I mean, he just held her feet to the fire. I mean, he was absolutely livid with her. I mean, I heard she was a dentist. How would you like to have her working on your bicuspids?
No, that's unfair. She was also a gynecologist, just so...
She was. And a lawyer.
Sure.
She combined all three professions, actually.
Mm-hmm. That's how you know you're good. You're... Just that. You do a bunch of other. Mm-hmm. Scott in Ithaca writes about that. That annoying woman, Orly Taint. Orly Tate.
Yeah.
Scott. For heaven's sakes. Whatever. That Let Me Finish lady's cryptacular name. She now claims the president's Social Security number is fraudulent or incorrect or some stupid thing. Something dumb about a Connecticut number, and he never lived in Connecticut. I guess she's still not finished, but you can stick a fork in her because she's done. Thank you. Thank you, Scott in Ithaca. Who better be at the Sexy Liberal Show May 14th?
The Republicans are really, really, they really hate this now. I have a very Republican friend on Facebook, and he was posting things like, okay, we've seen the birth certificate. This is over.
Oh, they were all over the place yesterday. Some people, of course, blaming the president. Some people, and then, of course, why did you do this sooner? And then, of course, some people saying, I don't even know if this is real yet. They're out of their
minds.
And
Trump's pivot immediately was to say, okay, now let's see the college records.
Yeah,
I mean,
serious.
You can't
I mean,
make
serious,
this stuff.
Blatant racism.
Let's see if the black man went to college.
Not just the affirmative action thing, Chris, but he needs to get off the basketball court and do something about gas prices.
Right.
I mean, at what point you seriously shut off the cameras, stop talking to him, you know, until he's ready to, you know, produce his tax returns.
Well,
and
Lawrence O'Donnell had it exactly right. Not only did he go after Early Tates, he looked right into the camera and said to NBC, now this is a guy who's on MSNBC, owned by NBC, and said, you guys, you people right over there have a responsibility to tell people this is a fraud, you're renewing his show, he is never running for president, and the minute that happens, he's off camera. It's done. It's over.
I saw something really interesting this morning. According to statistics, a lot of way more liberals watch The Apprentice than conservatives do. And all of this stuff has really made the viewership of his show
decline,
just
which is awesome.
Yeah.
I was saying, story in the National Journal, interesting question to put to all of us and to the listeners today. They say on the one hand, the newly announced re-election candidate was playing smart, hardball politics. Here was bulletproof evidence he was born in Hawaii, just as he said all along. Obama forced the networks to cut away from Republican challengers Trump's much-hyped appearance in New Hampshire. We're not going to be able to solve our problems if we get distracted by sideshows and carnival barkers, the line we all loved.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, National Journal writes, the president overshadowed his own arguably more important changes to his foreign policy team to engage with a man widely viewed as an egomaniacal stuntman. By handing over the long-form birth certificate, Trump had demanded Obama handed him bragging rights as well. So that's the question, is did he do the right thing politically or the smart thing or not? I think he did.
Yes. Yes, he did.
In the way he handled it, I absolutely think he did. But Rachel had the point. When you were talking to her about the spectacle of this and how you feel about the country when something like this happens, it is absolutely true. We are now a reality culture, and it is all blurred together. There is a former Real World cast member who is
Sean
in
Duffy.
The Congress.
Yeah,
in,
Sean
in
Duffy.
Wisconsin. It is not a leap to think that Jay Wow could decide, I'm going to run and then let's start talking about the president's run.
Well, Sean Duffy was in law school when he did The Real World in Boston. So he's very, very different from Jay Wow.
Orly Tates went to law school. I mean, what I'm saying is
and dental school.
Apparently, reality television is now the training ground. It used to be service to the country. It used to be being a community organizer was something people respected. Now they respect if you're Snooki because you're famous for being famous.
By the way,
I don't think people respect Snooki. I think people laugh at Snooki. She's a sideshow.
By the way, Orly Tates, it's good because you can get a pap smear. You don't even have to go to Walgreens. You can get a pap smear and a root canal and also a incorporate your business. One pollster said, which is true, they'll find another reason not to support him, meaning the president who he's polled on this issue in several states. If facts matter, this would have been put to rest a long time ago. This is not a fact-based debate. And that's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, here is the president yesterday.
During that entire week, The dominant news story wasn't about these huge monumental choices that we're going to have to make as a nation. It was about my birth certificate.
And here is the ridiculous. A friend of mine yesterday, David, said, "Well, I bet you had fun yesterday on the show." I'm like, "Oh, it was like shooting bloated, egotistical fish wearing bad hair pieces in a barrel." I mean, the fact that this guy was even
now. We have to look at it. We have to see: is it real? Is it proper? What's on it? But I hope it checks out beautifully.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I'm rooting for
it. I am not one of your fans!
Yeah. A couple of my listeners had the exact same, reaction I did to this. Jeff in Shreveport said, by the way, he wants us to play that call again, which we should see if we can find it, the black man that called yesterday that was legitimately just crying, burst into tears, you know, spontaneously. And I can imagine what that felt like watching this on television yesterday. I mean, I know how I felt. Anyway, he said, I hope you play that call again. I missed it. How many bubbles in a bar of soap? Remember, blacks used to be asked those impossible questions in voter registration tests? Since there exists no form to request your long-form birth certificate in Hawaii, Obama was being asked the same type of impossible question. And that's exactly... I'm like, who the hell are you? What do you mean? We're going to examine this and see if it's... once again, calling the president of the United States a liar, I guess.
Yep.
I mean, it's just beyond the pale.
For ratings. And Chris is right. And this is the law of unintended consequence. What's going to happen is that Donald Trump's going to find that now the very thing he's doing to promote is going to go down the tubes
yep.
as
yeah.
a result of this.
Absolutely. In fact, this he wrote to me. His name was Eric. Remember the
yeah.
caller from Harlem? He said, Steph, I'm the official happy black man of the show. And I mentioned in between sobs the sexy liberal show coming to the Apollo Theater, which I love that idea, in the great town of Harlem. New York, I hope you can make this happen because you do have a lot of fans here, and it would give me the pleasure of fulfilling my dream of a three-way between you, me, and my wife. But see, in the end, he had a very important and
he brought it back to happy.
Yes, point about civil rights in America, and then brought it back, as all men do, to a three-way between me and his wife, which I thought was... I just loved. I did not see that coming at the end of the email.
I beg your pardon?
Excuse me?
Huh?
All right. Let's go real quick here to Mary in Long Island. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
And everybody. Listen, about the polls, okay? I heard this morning on C-SPAN's Washington Journal something about Politico did a poll that shows that the majority of Americans favor the Ryan plan. Okay, this has got to stop. This is exactly how they win. Remember all the polls, and I'm telling you, if you can get a message to Charlie Cook, he's on my target list. Every freaking day they had a different poll showing anybody with a D after their name is dead, you know, and this and that, and this. So, well, I'm sorry, they create a reality. They do. They need to be more responsible with this. I don't want to hear how the president is dropping in the polls. You go, well, just why don't you just keep playing some of his town halls? You know, somebody's liking him. I mean,
yes.
it gives an impression.
Yeah, as opposed to Paul Ryan's town halls. That's right. Thank you, Mary.
Well, yeah, you
All
know?
Right. Thank you, Mary.
I
know. We have a break. I'm sorry.
Love her.
I am on a campaign to get her to fill in for Randy Rhodes because she could have her own show.
She's terrific and spot on.
And we made her do the time check last time. 45 after. All right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Or not. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Chris, are you all right?
Yeah. Okay.
Side effects may include loss of clothing, rug burn, shortness of breath, and sore abdominals the next morning. What in the world is up?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Wow! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 15 minutes after the hour, we return to Bender. David Bender live in studio with us all 3 hours. Carl Frisch from Media Matter. Oh, I'm sorry, Bullfight Strategies. Joins us next after the top of the hour to Hoots Right Wing World. All right. So you're saying the latest is on the birth certificate?
Oh, yeah. The latest on the birth certificate is that it says Obama's father's race is African. And some people are saying that, well, in 1961 it would have said colored or Negro.
Mm-hmm.
And so the birth certificate is fake, mm-hmm. according to
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, this started already on media outlets immediately during mm-hmm. the press conference. Drudge Report said, the birth certificate, is it real?
Yeah.
The Blaze and Fox News went for the White House releases what it says is Obama's long-form birth certificate.
And just in the way that the budget, the Ryan budget, is not about the budget, just mm-hmm. in the way that Scott Walker is not doing this to
yes.
bring fiscal sanity to Wisconsin, this isn't about the birth certificate. Mm-hmm. Never was.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jose in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jose.
Mooks and Ms. Miller, got to bring the sexy tour to Oakland. You know, as one of the many numerous official Mexican-Irish listeners of the Stephanie Miller
yes.
Show,
mm-hmm.
Same age as Barry, hey, he can call me Joe, you know. I grew up here on What Are You, same as he did. We had the cross-cultural things. He's African and American. There's a difference, okay? It's insulting to hear Trump just crow it. I'm proud of my success. Well, you're proud of, like, whoring out your family and your damn TV show. You should be proud of the fact he's in Mad Magazine. Anyway, I'm going to set you up for your soundbite here. Yeah, he says, I beat him. How could he beat him? Even Palin held office. Okay, so here's your soundbite. We've all worked in broadcasting. Everybody's heard this. Please come in. Mr. Trump, sit down. Close the door. Have a seat. Two words. You got him.
You're fired.
All right, thank you. That was a long setup for a soundbite I already had, but I appreciate that. Thank you.
But you saw it coming.
Yes, I certainly did.
A mile away.
I was like the train. Okay, when is this getting into the station?
Get off.
Oh, boy. Yeah. By the way, as you know, The American President, my favorite movie, and it was like The American President's speech.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness. We got better stuff to do. I've got better stuff to do. We've got big problems to solve.
Yes. These are serious times, and we need serious
people.
We
have serious problems to solve.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we need serious people to solve them.
All right.
One of these days, I'm going to watch that movie.
Chris in Yankton said he almost knocked himself unconscious yesterday not to have to hear the American president drops again.
Yeah, I know.
I love that.
Me too.
I love that. And, Bob, you're not serious. Poor Richard Dreyfuss.
My only dream is that he was going to say, I'm Barack Obama, and I am the president, Donald Trump.
Yes.
Woo!
You know, that movie was just really a fantasy.
No, it wasn't. This was close enough.
We're not going to be able to solve our problems if we get distracted by sideshows and carnival barkers.
Okay, you can put Donald Trump on again if you put carnival music behind him. That there works. I'm talking to you now. Okay. Mm-hmm. And make him wear a multicolored Afro wig. Lavender Pit, the official roller derby queen.
Like the John 3:16 guy?
Lavender Pit in Tucson. Hello, baby.
Hello, Mama. Hello, Mook.
Hello.
So I was thinking about what you were saying concerning Donald Trump, and it occurs to me that he's really overstepped his bounds and left his natural sphere of the carnival. And to prove it, think about Snooki, who you just mentioned a minute ago. Mm. I had no use for this person when the show came on, and then I saw her on WrestleMania. And in her natural niche, she ruled. She did roundoffs and killed her opponent with her actual bottom. If Donald Trump would actually stick to using his bottom the way Snooki did, he'd be much better off.
Instead of just talking out of it. Yeah. All right. Hey, ladies and Flavin' Havens.
Ladies and germs.
All right. Lori in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Lori.
Hi, guys. Happy clappy parent news. Stephanie, you talk about your mom. My 85-year-old dad, who lives in Green Bay, Wisconsin, had to have unexpected triple bypass surgery on Sunday. He's doing well.
Good.
And Tuesday afternoon, when my sister walked into the room, they had him sitting up in his bed, and he was sitting there spewing, slamming Scott Walker, Paul Ryan, and Sean Duffy in Wisconsin. 2 days after surgery, he's talking politics and opining and slamming people away. Now, he probably doesn't realize the president presented his birth certificate because he'd opine on that, but you got to love an 85-year-old man 2 days after surgery opining the way he was.
Yeah.
And I just hope his nurses and doctors aren't Republicans.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Lori. All right. Daryl in Philadelphia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Seth. I just wanted to get to the birthday issue. Of course, I believe you guys said it earlier, it all has to do with race. Let's look back. When he was candidate Obama, he was the only one with Secret Service protection. As President Obama, he has the record number of death threats with all the other presidents combined. Half the country has a fit when he wants to address school children and give them words of encouragement going to school.
That's right.
We cheer when he tried to get the Olympics to come to Chicago unsuccessfully. Rush Limbaugh, his crowd cheers. Don't forget about Barack the Magic Negro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then you have Joe Wilson yelling at him, first time in history during the State of the Union, you lie. It's all his to do with race, but I think the president made a big mistake. He should not get down and play with these guys. These guys are nothing but racist. They're never satisfied. Even you just said it now. Now they're coming up, well, how do we know it's real? It always says, next thing is going to be, oh, could he be a secret Muslim? So next thing they'll want to do is hear the president on prime time in the Oval Office, sit down and eat pork chops and drink beer to prove he's not a secret Muslim, then sign legislation claiming that the country would never be with Sharia law.
Yeah, I mean, Daryl, I absolutely get what you're saying. I have to say I was torn. I feel like, you know, the president was right. He had to do it. But that's what I was saying. It made me sick to my stomach. It really had a feeling of, you know, Donald Trump making the black man dance for him. And I was... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
It weakens the office of the presidency. What he should have done is have his press secretary do it and, you know, got the long form and say, here's the president's long form, but we hope we can put this to rest. It's unbelievable that in the year 2011, we still have people with certain type of views, and we know what they are.
Yeah.
you know, all this, I want my country back and everything else. I think it weakens the office of the presidency. No president in the history of this country has been disrespected the way this man has.
Yep.
You know, it has
absolutely
nothing to do with policy, because a lot of the president's policies I don't agree with. A lot of the president's, when Bush was in office, I definitely didn't agree with any of his policies, but I would still be respectful to the president of the United States.
That's
because
right.
Because he's the president of the United States.
Daryl, once again, it's hard to pay you back for everything, but I do have a Sherry's Berries gift certificate for you for $50. How about that? Can you hang on?
Oh, well, thank you, sir.
All right,
sure.
Hang on. Yay. Give that to Mommy or whoever coming up for Mother's Day. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, type in Stephanie. Oh, they're delicious.
They are
David
good.
Bender just had
they
one last night
really
at my
good
house.
Berries.
Oh.
They're the berries.
Yeah.
I like the ones that are dressed up like tuxedos.
You're
such
guy.
A sad little man. 58 minutes after the hour. Carl Frisch next in Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoop, baby, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800. Oh, I've been rode hard and put up wet.
What?
A road warrior after only one sexy liberal show. Dear God. 1-800, just running on fumes. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Thank you, Madison! We love you! Rock and roll! Wow. The right wing going crazy. They're trying to shut down this tour. They tried to bribe our tour director. It just started Saturday. We're selling out everywhere, and they're going insane. Yes.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is taking the country by storm, packing theaters across the nation. And conservatives are losing their minds.
I'm going to lose my mind today.
I'm too sexy. John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and radio goddess Stephanie Miller are touring America. And the Republicans are so afraid of the truth that they want to shut them down.
I say, shut it down.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Don't let that happen. Bring the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show to your area. Contact your favorite venue and demand it. Tell your friends. Make a Facebook page. Tag at Sexy Liberal on Twitter. And be sure to like Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Let it be known that we all want the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show because it's the show conservatives don't want you to see.
Come on! All right. And you can go to facebook.com/sexyliberal. Lots of pictures of all the filth and debauchery from Saturday night. Jim, you'll enjoy some of those.
Mm.
The Fine America. Let's see. Tanya writes, Staff, just want to say thanks to you, Hal, and John for coming to Madison, making us last. The Sexy Liberal Show is a well-deserved reprieve for the people of Wisconsin. It was the first time since Wanker introduced his awful budget repair bill. It felt okay and really good to laugh. I haven't laughed so hard like that in a long time. It was also a joy to be surrounded by like-minded people without a protest sign in my hand. I feel refreshed and ready for the battles ahead of us. Recount and recall. Thanks for reminding us how important laughter is during times like this. Aw, Tanya!
Yay!
Yeah, I think people just bought a ticket just to get away from, as Hal said, the people on the outside. So we could just be, we would have a reprieve for a while from the wankers of the world. All right. Oh, give me one more fine American. Oh, this is more a cautionary tale. Because could I have my cautionary tale music, please? Rich writes, Jim, we warned about crossing. I think you told us before we went, don't cross the sexy streams.
Mm.
Because there could be, it's like we all learned that at Ghostbusters.
Okay. Important safety tip. Thank you, Egon.
See? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rich dismissed that, and now he's, you know. Hi, Mama. I just got home from the first performance of the Sexy Liberal Tour. I had a fantastic time. I was one of the people who managed to claw his way to the mic at the end for the Q&A. The person behind me nudged me. I pointed to the mic. I looked up to the stage to see all three of you in your sexy liberal glory. It was like a sexy liberal atomic explosion. I vaporized from the force of your sexy liberal vibes, leaving my shadow burned into the Barrymore wall and found myself speechless. I remember him. Having the full force of three sexy liberals staring me down was almost more than I could stand. You joke on the air that you should never cross the sexy streams. I can attest to that. He has been vaporized, Jim, into the carpeting. Boom! To your listeners that may entertain the notion... of going to see the Sexy Liberal Show, be warned, the trifecta of sexiness is the burning bush of liberalism and not a power to be trifled with. Leave your shoes at the door because you will stand on hallowed ground in the presence of Steph Hallenjohn. Okay, thank you, Will. Rich, we apologize. I'm sure you can be reconstituted in some ways. You just have to cut. You have to. It goes in the little box, right, Jim? And then they take it back to the laboratory.
Yes.
And he can be reanimated, I think.
Something like that.
All right. Yes.
It was like a vacuum. You'd suck it in.
Yes.
And then
okay. They had a machine.
All three of you.
Wait, you're
show.
Not here yet? Okay.
Sounds
now,
like somebody's got a case of the mundus.
With McClurg.
Portals, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore
it. Edie McClurg.
Oh, my God, look, Edie McClurg is here.
What? It must be me.
You have to. You have to wait for the cheesy radio sound effect of the door opening. Why, it's the wacky neighbor. Oh.
Hi, Heidi, how are you? Hi.
Instead, she just beamed
Heidi
down.
Heidi-ho,
like
Heidi-ho. How are you doing?
Wait, you said hi too soon. The door just opened.
Oh, Heidi-ho.
Okay, thank you. That was better.
It is, Mrs. Poole. Yeah. Because I used my Wisconsin accent when I was doing that show because we were in Chicago, supposedly.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I was thinking about that show that you're doing on the road now.
Yeah.
I think it does stun people because you are shockingly handsome group of people.
Oh, that's
and
not
all
true.
On one stage at one time. People say, "Oh, here we are in Wisconsin, and we're all wearing our mucklucks." And
no,
you
it was
just
a room.
Show up Southern California.
It was a room full of sexy liberals. Liberalism itself is sexy.
That is true.
It is.
Ooh.
Yeah, we were laughing about the right. We were going crazy. It was a joke. We don't really think we're sexy. It's like, it's just making them disconnect. They're like,
no.
Liberalism is unattractive in every way.
Maybe you feel that way, but Hal.
Hal and John. Hal and John are. Yeah.
They're,
I just want to eat them with a spoon.
No, they're so cute.
All right. Jesse in Iowa. I read this letter on stage. I saved it for him, but another. Give me Wedding Chapel. Here we go. Jesse in Iowa. Future wife stack. I just love this story so much. I got to share it with everybody, but I read it on stage Saturday night. Mama, I found the perfect wife for you. Because I know we've all felt like this at some point. A professor of anthropology at the University of Iowa has found herself in hot water after responding to an email sent out by a campus Republican group with the simple inflammatory message, "You Republicans." The response was prompted by an email promoting Conservative Coming Out Week that was sent to the entire University of Iowa community. The email advertised a week of conservative events such as the showing of a movie to honor George W. Bush. Ellen Lewin, a professor of anthropology and gender and sexuality studies, I don't care what she looks like, I love her, said she found the email, quote, extremely disturbing and offensive because it mocked the pro-labor protests in Wisconsin and animal rights. This is a time when political passions are inflamed, and I received your unsolicited email. I just finished reading some newspaper accounts of fresh outrages committed by Republicans in government, she said in an email to the Republican group after the incident. I admit the language was inappropriate and apologize for any affront to anyone's delicate sensibilities. But, yo! I just love that story. Because sometimes, you know, you're like, no, we must calmly rebut them with our superior facts. And then you're just like.
No, because when
you're just like, you know what?
When they're saying what they're saying, it just gives you douche chills. You just really, really, really can't stand it.
No, you know, yeah, everybody has different techniques, whether it's from those right-wing relatives or you get emails and you're like, okay, do I not respond or do I respond with my superior mastery of the issues involved? Or do I just, you know, but sometimes you do just feel like going, you. Yeah.
Well, is the sexy tour, is it going to come to Los Angeles?
Well, funny you should mention that, Edie McClurg. Thank you for the
huzzah.
I'm sure it will. We don't have that information
all
yet.
Right.
There are sexy liberal elves in a tree somewhere working on the whole sexy liberal, you know. That
we could do it in my patio.
My dad's got a barn. No, we have lots of upcoming dates that we can't announce yet and or that aren't booked yet. There's a lot of...
I'll pretend I don't know
it's
about
a lot of
anything.
Logistics, a lot of moving parts involved in this whole thing. But
the
schedule, as it were, Syracuse, Saturday, May 14th, Ticketmaster.com, Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th, Boston, Saturday, July 16th, and the breaking news this morning, Raleigh-Durham, ladies and gentlemen, Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, Saturday, June 4th. Tickets on sale. They start on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at the Durham Performing Arts Center. You can go to Ticketmaster.com for all of those.
Is your
but you can avoid those fees if you go right to the box office.
Pardon me?
Is your mom going to go to that?
You know, I'm not really certain about that.
Oh, Steffi.
I haven't figured out how to
work so
Steffi,
blue.
Do you have to say those words?
Oh, Steffi. Why can't you invite that nice Edie McClurg? I enjoy her. She's the only part of your show I enjoy.
Well,
curses too.
Yeah, and there were things, characters I used to do on David Letterman and things like that.
Yeah.
My mother and father, you know, were watching at the time.
Oh.
I'll just say, oh, it's...
Do you really have to say things like that?
That's too far from Charlotte. You can't. Raleigh Durham's, no.
Oh, is
however, that... each and every carbon-based life form in Asheville, North Carolina, better be there. You heard me. You heard me, Asheville. We can't get to Asheville on this leg, but we're going to hopefully see all our North Carolina friends.
I did a movie down in Asheville.
It's
gorgeous.
That and Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, whole area. Just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. All right. Tony in Ohio, you're on with Edie McClurg. Hello, Tony.
Hello, the official logician of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
I would like to put on my microeconomist hat today.
Oh, all right.
Over the weekend, in between the booze, cat calls, and barnyard noises, the budget monster, Mr. Ryan,
yes,
was heard to say that taxes on small businesses, meaning those ultra-millionaires,
yes,
would discourage...
Yeah, ExxonMobil's a small business, yeah, as you know.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Indeed. Uh-huh. Well, as a small businessman myself, I can tell you that taxes come off of profits, not net.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Which means everything I spend on new equipment or possibly ever hiring a new employee is entirely deductible.
Yeah.
And in fact, the higher my taxes, although I really wouldn't see them raised if I could because I'm a very small business.
That's why I very cleverly keep the profits down here so that
indeed.
I have no tax liabilities.
Nothing like that. It's not a slow economy to keep the profit margins small.
Yes. Yes. I thought this. Jim and I have talked about this. We aimed for this level of mediocrity so as not to, because your life gets far too complicated.
Sure.
And yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the higher my taxes, the more incentive I have to hire a new employee or buy new equipment or make investments, and the lower incentive I have to take it, put it in my pocket, and go to Aruba.
Yep.
The lower my taxes, the more likely I am to end up in Aruba and leave my business behind.
That's
without
right.
putting any money into it.
That's right. You are so the smartest boy in class today.
And I wish pundits and people talking on TV would mention this because it's very, very simple. Krugman got it.
Yeah.
And how hard could that be?
How smart's got it.
Yeah, how hard can it be to win a Nobel Prize?
That's right.
Yes.
I mean, gosh, I've got three of them in my attic.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what, Jim, we were saying last week, I can't remember who it was, you know, Charlie Sheen, I think we were saying, like, when you have that level of success and money, you just, you know, automatically. And so that's why I don't know about you, but I aimed for this sort of mid-level of mediocrity, whereby I wouldn't, you know, be tempted by large sums of money or any sort of, you know, wild success.
Palatial mansion.
Yeah, I just wanted to be right sort of here so that things are manageable and I have, you know, and then my tax liabilities down, you know, that sort of thing.
No bridal paths.
No.
No.
Okay. It's by design. Okay. All right.
I have received word, though, that my Leaf, my Nissan Leaf, is now in line. I have, you know, there might be a date coming forward and I will get
you
the
are
car.
The greenest gal I know.
And I will have an electric port in my garage, which will charge it. And I have solar panels on my roof, which feeds the electricity.
Nice.
And I will be zero emissions.
You're Mrs. Green Jeans.
Thank you,
Edie McClurg. Thank you. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, back with more of the delightful Edie McClurg as we continue Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Well, you've heard me talk about all the headaches I've had fixing things at my house. I found one answer that beats them all, Angie's List. When I need someone to work on my house, a contractor, a plumber, even select a doctor, it's important I know as much as possible up front. Are they trustworthy, professional, efficient, affordable? When you've had as many nightmares around your house as I have, you need Angie's List. With Angie's List, I can quickly and easily find reliable, honest feedback on professionals in my city in over 500 categories. Angie's List doesn't accept anonymous reviews. You know when you're reading those bogus reviews online. I want to know that I'm reading reviews I can trust. It helps give me peace of mind with who I hire. Where do you want me to start with my house? The guy that did the rain gutter? gutters wrong and had to come back. I had to call him about 20 times. How about the plumber that installed my garbage disposal wrong? AngiesList.com, my trusted resource. Make it yours too. Sign up today using my promo code. Get 20% off Angie's List membership. Go to AngiesList.com, promo code Stephanie, or call 1-888-888-5478. Mention Stephanie. AngiesList.com, promo code Stephanie.
Stephanie Miller.
Edie McClurg, that's a good analogy. We were joking about the pushback the sexy liberal tour is getting. You know, bribes to shut it down. There's, you know, some places that we've heard are owned by conservatives. That
they
you were
don't
saying,
want to give you the
and
hall.
You were saying by the what do you call it, in the integration, like, oh, no, we're sold out.
Yeah, you can't, no, our motel, no, we're totally booked up.
We have no room. There's no room at the end, no.
And they said, well, what about all those dark rooms down there at the end of the motel here?
Yeah, construction.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a plumbing problem.
Mold.
Chris, could I have my nostalgia music?
Poltergeist.
Yes. Yeah, there's Poltergeist in there, sure. They're all white Poltergeists, though. There's no... yeah. All right, Julie sends this along. Steph, the Wall Street Journal reports things haven't been this loosey-goosey, nobody's happy for the Republicans since 1964. The year my dad and Goldwater.
Yeah.
Tank. Let's use the word lost.
Tank.
The year you had to spend in seclusion so no one would realize the GOP vice presidential candidate was raising his Armenian mistress's unibrowed, sexually ambiguous wolf child. That's when politicians had the good sense to leave their ugly little spawn at home. Truly the gods of comedy are smiling on your sexy liberal showing. You'll never want for material once these clowns pile out of the clown car and start arguing with each other on the TV. It's true. It's the insane clown posse. Isn't it, Edie, the Republican field thus far? That'd be awesome if they'd all go to the debate in the same car. Come on. Just for fun. Big shoes. They don't make shoes. Plenty gets one stuck under the stick shift. All right. Yeah, Donald Trump's hair gets lodged in the sunroof.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I'd like you to drive the clown car off a bridge, that would be...
Do you remember when Trump used to be a big joke?
When did that stop?
Huge, it hasn't stopped, joke. But all huge. Of a sudden it's just like, he's well known, therefore we must pay attention to him.
I know.
I'm a huge joke as running for president.
That was my first reaction, my second and my third. Are you kidding me? Donald Trump? All right, Wall Street Journal writes, crop of 2012 Republican presidential candidates is about to expand, adding faces to one of the most varied. And they have variety, that's for sure.
Craziness.
And muddled GOP fields in decades, the lineup currently lacks a clear favorite to stir the GOP base to the dismay of many in the party. Gallup poll released Friday underscored an awkward situation facing the GOP. Two men who may not even run, Huckabee and Trump, tie for first among the Republicans surveyed with a scant 16% support apiece. Listen to this. The last Republican nominee to score under 20% in a Gallup poll at this stage prior to an election, Barry Goldwater in 1964.
Huckabee-Trump in 2012.
Those were the good old days.
Jim Jordan, Democratic strategist, said the GOP field was remarkable for, quote, having no center of gravity, no front runner, no establishment choice, and no preeming at all and put on electability. Unless that changes by Labor Day, he said there's going to be a real panic in respectable Republican circles. Great piece. Oh, boy, Jim. I think as things go on, we may hear more Goldwater Miller references to this particular campaign. It's my dream, Edie, that somebody, someone could lose more state. You know, I'm thinking that President Obama could conceivably win every state.
I think so. I think so.
The Republicans could lose 51 states.
Yes.
I think it's entirely possible.
My dad and Goldwater won six.
Is that the Virgin Islands?
American Samoa. They'll carry Samoa.
Oh, American Samoa.
Yeah, this is another story on the AP today. Birther claims force Republican leaders to take a stand. I mean, this is just how... this is a non-story. It's a conspiracy theory that won't go away. It's forcing Republican officials and presidential contenders to pick sides. Today, President Obama was born out of the United States and disqualified to be president. In recent days, several prominent Republicans have distanced themselves from it. But a new poll showing that two-thirds of adult Republicans either embrace or the claim or are open to it. Literally, almost 70% either don't think he was born here or are not sure. I mean, it's stunning. I mean, it's about 30%, actually, of the Republicans think he was born here.
I would like to see a take the facsimile of the birth thing and put it on T-shirts.
And what are the chances
all over America.
Right. What are the chances that Bat Michelle Bachmann is the first one to get off the crazy train?
No, just have to take his word for it.
No, you can look at the actual...
Yeah. Stephanopoulos showed it to her. She's like, oh, well, then that should settle it.
Okay, then.
Okay, dokie, then.
Doi.
Doi. 29 minutes after the hour. Peter Gallagher next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Gee, that was fun, but in the future, let's save time and just roll around on gravel.
34 minutes after the hour. I agree with you.
It's a sexy liberal show, isn't it? Yeah, you're running gravel.
We were just talking about, speaking of polls, we join... we are not in the 6% of Americans that care about this royal wedding. We're just like... Wow. Only 6% of Americans, really. Yeah, I don't know. It's, whatever.
Talk about antiquated... issues.
Yeah. I don't know. I cared about Diana, and I can't get it up again for another royal wedding. It's just, they never work out. All right, so we have lots of stuff to get to. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I'm such a big fan of this guy. Peter Gallagher, you know him as actor, musician, writer. He is narrating, though, a really important film called Gas Hole. Succinctly pronounce that. What the oil companies don't want you to know. Peter Gallagher joins us now. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Well, I'm pleased to be on the air with you.
This is such an intelligent film you're narrating, and Edie McClurg, you know how she is.
She was accidental.
She was just gushing over you. Oh, he's so handsome.
And smart.
I had nothing to do with either of them.
So tell us about this. Gas Hole examines oil industry's manipulations and the future of alternative energy. I think this is just fascinating. How did you get interested in this to even narrate it?
Well, I'd like to say I was merely drawn to the title. in fact, the fellas, Jeremy and Scott, didn't come up with that until after I voiced the narration. Melinda Clark, an actress whom I'd done the OC with, a TV show, she's friends with Jeremy and Scott, and she said, you know, my friends are doing that, and her husband, Ernie, at the time, just said, you know, my friends are doing this wild documentary about the oil business and about gas prices, and, you know, it would be great if you, you know, narrated it for them. I said, all right. Well,
jumped right on board, eh?
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, I said, well, okay, I'll meet these guys and, you know, look at their material. And it was amazing material.
Yeah.
It was one of the best stories I'd ever heard. It was like Chinatown, the movie. And I said, just tell me, Jeremy and Scott, please tell me that this is an amazing story. Is any of this true? they sort of, you know, encouraged me that their research was quite genuine. I also like the fact that they weren't partisan. So.
Well, Peter, here's the thing. Obviously, you know, we've been talking about this all morning because the president was talking about gas prices over the weekend. We've all been talking about them. You know, there was just this earthquake in Japan. Oil prices on the rise. A new 2.5-year high. But this is what's fascinating. The press release for the film says, although the spike in oil prices is perceived to be the result of uprisings in the Middle East and specifically the war in on Libya, the world's oil supply has not been affected. The spike is actually due to the practice of profiteering from the public's uncertainty following a natural disaster or war. I mean, that is fascinating because people just go, oh, okay, yeah, that must be what it is.
Exactly.
They just buy it, right?
It's sheer genius.
Mm-hmm.
It's sheer genius. Whoever which way the wind is blowing, and it looks fairly catastrophic, whether it's man-made or natural, gas prices go up. I mean, that's sort of also, you know, it was like, I think everybody, the great thing about this DVD is it reassures you that you're not crazy. You know,
right,
because
well,
you go to, you
yeah,
go
I
to
mean,
the promise. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, you know, what I love about it, it sort of charts the oil company's manipulations all along since the days of John Rockefeller using, the, you know, the graphics and archival footage. It really shows how the oil companies have repeatedly squelched all of these viable alternatives to petroleum by killing patents, buying out the competition, manipulating supply, reaping record profits following these natural disasters and political unrest. I mean, it makes you so angry, right?
Right. Well, I mean, you see that this is pretty standard operating procedure for most businesses. I mean, look what's been going on with banks and so on. They'll do, that's what people try to, sports teams, you try to crush your opposition. But, you know, this is the ultimate success story because the oil, you know, companies traffic in our sort of lifeblood, economic lifeblood, that's not owned by anyone, really. And we pay them to take it, and then we pay them whatever they ask for.
And
so they're essentially bigger than the country that, you know, that the countries they've emerged from.
Well, you know, Peter, we all remember Edie McClurg was just talking about her new Leaf. She's the greenest girl I know. But, I mean, it's interesting. You know, we all saw Who Killed the Electric Car. But your film, I love, you know, it shows just the whole history of it. You know, talking even the vapor car, water-injected
right.
carburetors, how it's not just like just the electric car they killed, right?
No, I mean, there's all sorts, and it's also reassuring. They've purchased, you know, owned thousands of patents, you know, and that might potentially cause cars to use less gas or vehicles to use less gas and for them, you know, for their profits to be affected. And so it's astounding.
What you also cover how gas prices doubled, people may forget, in George Bush's presidency in less than two terms. Talk to us about that.
Well, I think it's one of those, you know, sleight of hands where you're throwing attention on the Middle East and you're throwing attention over here, and of course you have an oil man in the president's.
Never seemed like sheer coincidence to me. Yeah.
Yes, and after two terms, gas prices have doubled. So it's again this remarkable sleight of hand, in a climate where, you know, people are insisting that dinosaurs walked with people 6,000 years ago, and there is no climate change, and science is. You know, anyone with a loud enough voice is willing to, or a different opinion, will try to discredit science.
Well,
you know,
you can
believe anything.
And here's the thing, is you remember him giving it lip service. You remember him talking about,
switchgrass.
Yeah, switchgrass, all that. But, you know, the problem is we haven't done it. I mean, what I love about the film, Gas Hole, is that it talks about, first of all, you got to shine a light on it, right, to go, okay,
right.
How do we stop this? Because, like you say, there's been all of these great ideas that have been squelched. What is the future of alternative fuel? Talk to us about that.
Well, I mean, I guess there's some suspicion that we've passed peak oil already, and I think, you know, this will be just a drop in the bucket, but I think anything to sort of reassure people that they haven't lost their minds and that, in fact, you know, all you have to do is watch what was going on in Wisconsin by elected, you know, legislators and
That's
representatives
right.
to deprive people of their rights in full view as, you know, members of our government. You can only imagine what goes on in, you know, behind closed doors when real huge multi-billion dollar profits are at stake.
Well,
so, you know, eventually we'll run out of oil or the price will go so high that alternatives will be, you know, required, but hopefully we won't have lost our soul or our children's future.
Yeah. Well, Peter, I mean, the thing that made me the most mad and the most hopeful, you know, in your film is, you know, the line that says, you know, It talks about the hidden technology from the last 65 years that would have drastically improved fuel economy and could have ended our dependence on foreign oil. I mean, all we can hope is that, you know, this will not happen in the future. You're thinking, how many more people have to die in wars? How many?
Right. I mean, was it Studebaker had a car that got 150 miles per gallon in the 40s?
Yeah.
Or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no, you know, our friend Rick Overton, who's a brilliant comedian, was in here, and he does this hilarious bit about all these people in heaven that have been assassinated, and, you know, someone's like, what did you do? I invented the car that runs on water. But, you know, God bless this film, and God bless for you for doing it, because that is the future if we're going to, like you say, if we're going to have one. So, Peter, thanks so much for doing that, and thanks for your time.
Well, thank you so much, Stephanie. My hat's off to Scott and Jeremy because, as I say, they were kind of conservative guys that got a hold of this, and it's not partisan, and my hat's off to them for financing it and seeing it through all this time.
Yeah, well, absolutely not a partisan issue anymore. It's gasholemovie.com, correct, where we can find out more?
Right.
All right. Peter Gallagher, actor extraordinaire. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, thank you, Stephanie.
All right.
I feel, Bob, that you just put a spring in my step for the day.
Mine, too. And I mean that in a saucy way.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Peter. Edie McClurg.
I'm smelling.
I have never seen you. So girly.
Did I put my blush?
Oh my God! You're blushing.
Blushing.
You're sweet on Peter Gallagher.
I am.
Not since the first time you were in here with us and you said, "Oh, Jim, you're just a dear," have I seen you get so flustered around a man.
Well, talented and handsome both.
Oh, thank you.
No, Peter.
Oh.
No.
Both
he said both. Both of them.
Both. Yeah.
Don't you throw the handsome mook under the bus. Ray in San Diego, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, thanks. I think we're underestimating Donald Trump as a candidate.
Please.
Well,
really?
Yes, because something that irks the base the most, the right-wing base, is when someone gets something and they're undeserving. If someone undeserving gets a handout, and he seems like the kind of guy that can keep those undeserving people from getting their handout.
Yeah, because you should get your money the old-fashioned way, inherit it like he did, and then lose it four times, and then run on your record as a financial genius. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm just a little...
Did she say too much?
First of all, how do you lose money on casinos? And number two, how do you do it three times? The house is supposed to be in your favor.
I'm hugely incompetent. Huge.
Obviously.
I'm going to be president of Guam.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, we continue with the waning moments, celebrity sack, and much more on Mondays with McClurg.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, sorry. Let me put my glow sticks down. I think there's going to be stage dancing in Syracuse with the folks from Marriage Equality to this song on the Sexy Liberal Tour. All right. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, Dave in Wisconsin was there. By the way, he said he was completely surprised at how many out-of-state violent, angry union thugs were at the Barrymore.
Ooh.
He said, actually, the only time I was concerned for my health and safety was when I laughed so hard I had beer come out my nose.
Well, that's just normal in Wisconsin.
We're coming back for the recall party. See you in 2012 when we have a different governor. Yeah. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah.
You know what I said, Edie? I said, I think in a year or so, I'm going to be back here, and I'm going to be saying, do you remember who was governor a year ago? And they'll be saying, I don't recall.
No.
It's a recall joke. Okay.
Recall that joke.
All right. Oh, great time in medicine with the Satan worshippers for Easter. By the way, I got an e-card, Edie. It says, for Easter, it says, I ran out of tampons, so I'm using a peep. Why do people send me these cards? It's not an appropriate Easter card. That
gives you chills.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear, as my mother would say. Oh, speaking of Lady Gaga, she considered having permanent face implants. I'm not even aware what these are. She was spotted, she had raised bumps to give her a more angular appearance on her face and shoulders in photos for the new album for Born This Way.
She needed more angular?
Apparently.
Oh, my.
I didn't know you could have bumps added. You can have speed bumps added, apparently, to your face. Some teabaggers might want to consider that. Oh, you know, I'm just saying, if you don't, if you like your teabagging slower...
By the way, Stephanie,
yes?
The chat room says that that tampon peep e-card was a chick joke.
Ah, at the chat room. Oh, the chat room's drunk. Okay. She said, I did have the look into having them done permanently, but decided against it. They're doing new things all the time, aren't they, with various... plastic surgeries. Okay. The Melania, she's the current Trump wife.
Melania.
She'd technically be the third lady if you were erected. Excuse me. I'm an elected.
I'm always erected.
I'm erecting buildings everywhere with my name on
them.
He's
huge.
Huge. Look at those buildings. They're huge.
By the way, Jim, I thought I'd stumbled into a cow field in Wisconsin Saturday night because I just mentioned Trump, and I didn't realize what the sound was. It was the whole audience going, huge,
huge.
I was like, what is it? Oh, you're saying huge. It's our little tribute to Jim Ward. Yeah.
Wow, I feel like some sort of Svengali now.
Exactly. It's Jim Ward says it here, and then crowds of people.
Do you have to be Swedish to be a Svengali?
We are on fire this morning. On fire.
We're on something.
That was really silly.
The Mrs. Trump is birther. We found that out on which college she was on a Joy Behar show. Blah blah blah.
I hope Joy gave her a what for.
Yes, she did, of course. A delisted writing. Melania Trump has spoken out about the birth certificate issue, and guess what? She's siding with the sugar pappy husband who keeps her skin slathered in liquid gold. She also, this may make you, she also doesn't understand why people make fun of her husband's hair.
Is she blind?
Yeah. Well, listen, if you were getting that kind of cash, you would change your opinion.
I'd be blind to a lot, I guess.
Too sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She called his hairstyle great and said she couldn't imagine him with any other do. Along with loving her husband's locks, she's a big fan of his legs, describing them as very long and beautifully shaped.
Ew.
Oh,
God. That's weird.
Get me the
shivers. I wonder if at home he dresses like a woman more than Rudy Giuliani did. I don't know. How do you see those gams? All right. Once again, the Stephanie Miller Show, right in touch with the pulse of the American people. Only 6% of Americans care about Prince William and Kate Middleton. So, of course, CNN's doubling down on it. With their normal laser-like precision on what people want to watch. Wow. And here's another big shock, Jim. It's mostly chicks. It's all chicks. I think it should run a lot of Cialis commercials because men are going to need a lot to counteract the, because I think there's nothing that causes,
I don't know.
More than talking about the royal wedding.
What? Kate's pretty hot, though.
Oh, well, so. Let's see. You can't, but it's a wedding, so you can't really focus on that.
Sure, well, I can.
Hey, here's what we missed while we were in Wisconsin. Lindsay Lohan in jail, out of jail already. In jail, out.
Why did they take her back in?
For the necklace incident.
Well, she put her right foot out. And
she did the jail hokey pokey that celebrities do here in L.A.
Yes.
Yeah, she was sentenced to 120 days in jail. She was sentenced to. Her lawyer filed an appeal and it was immediately paid. She was in there for about 5 hours.
Your Honor, my client is a celebrity. Oh well okay.
Oh, come
all right
on.
Now.
I'm sorry. You know, we won't even close the door. We'll just
make her look at an orange jumpsuit and then she can go.
Delisted writes, somebody needs to get the justice system a jar of Vaseline and a Band-Aid because I'm sure it's. Is pretty much in all kinds of chafed due to how much Lindsay Lohan without lube.
Wow.
I mean, sentenced to 120 days and sat in there for as long as a Pink Floyd song. Justice system this morning is like, ow, Wow.
There is no pain you are receiving.
Wow. Kirstie Alley says her Dancing with the Stars rehearsals are helping her shed weight. She started out at a size 12 and then in size 8.
Oh, hold
it. She thinks she might be a size 6 soon.
No. She was a good 22 when she started. And she might be down to a 16 now. Have you took a look at those eyes?
Wow!
Please!
Cattiness from Edie McClurg. I haven't heard that before.
Look, as a person who is overweight, I know sizes, and that's no...
That ain't no size 6.
No. In your dreams, maybe.
I knew Jackie Kennedy. I worked for Jackie Kennedy. You're no Jackie Kennedy. All right. Oh, Esmeralda's going to be so disturbed. The Bewitched creator, Saul Sachs, died in L.A. at 100 years old. I didn't realize it was 100. 100 years old. I love to be Bewitched.
Sam, would you want to live to 100?
I don't think so.
No.
I'm
the crinkly bad part.
Oh, listen, I'm barely going to make it to the end of the Sexy Liberal Tour. Are you kidding me? This is like... You should have heard how much I was bitching. I was like, two shows. This is too late for me. It's almost 10 o'clock.
You two shows.
Give her a nap. Give her a little nap.
You know, you never did two shows in the Catskills. You do one show and pack them in. And then you know.
And you never work blue.
Oh, mama.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I didn't get that note. Oh, Grampy McSame. Look, he's back with his same Libya policy. It's the same as every other policy. Bomb, 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 Iran.
It's pretty obvious to me that the United States has got to play a greater role in the air power side. Our NATO allies neither have the assets nor, frankly, the will.
You know, is that his strategy for every situation?
We have to strike now, sir. Annihilate. Kill. Kill. Kill.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
All right. Oh, we have to send our thoughts and prayers out to the folks in St. Louis. The mayor there, by the way, there was a tornado, you know, in St. Louis. Mayor Francis Slay.
It's stunning to see the damages here. And what's also stunning is that there weren't more people that were hurt.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Edie McClurg, you are just delightful and always. And I'm going to find more stories you can be catty about because I love that part. Tomorrow we have Rude Pundit, Ian Millhiser, Charlie Pierce.
Six my ass.
And Hallie Velshi, the bald-headed prophet
of
doom.
I didn't say that, Jim.
I'd like to thank executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice Dee Dee Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Right, Melanie, I know I'm a tease. Woman, don't promise us Hal Sparks, Ruth Gordon, and not deliver. I'm sticking through the commercial break specifically to hear the upcoming Promise debate between Brit Hume and Rush Limbaugh, moderated by Ruth Gordon. Bring it, Mama.
Oh, boy. One at a time.
No, they haven't been...
There have been enough of you already. I can't understand a word either of you saying. Both of you, shut up. You're driving old lady crazy. Helpless old lady, let me die of frostbite. You ate all the food.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, boys. We're officially having too much fun.
Developing
by the way,
story, Obama releases birth certificate.
What? Oh, my God. By the way,
this is big
I just
news.
Got an email from John Fugel saying of Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show and our right-wing hate litter, briber, that tried to bribe our Sexy Liberal Show booker $10,000 to stop booking the show and then called him an F-word for gay man when he wouldn't take the bribe.
Yep. Yeah.
John Fugelsang points out that he spelled posse wrong. He spelled it P-O-S-S-Y. I think he was trying to either say the other.
Right.
It was a cross between a posse and a something.
I'm guessing he wouldn't have come up with that 10 grand.
They're not strong spellers, as a rule, the right wingers.
I'll pay you $100. Not to
right.
Put on. Okay,
$150.
Final offer.
Roland's sitting there laughing his ass off. He's already made that much money. It's right. Like, what? It's exactly. It's like this guy's been frozen in time. I would give you $50 to stop.
Hate capitalism. You're not supposed to be
liberals
successful.
Don't make any money. That's probably more money than he's made in his entire life.
He probably can't even imagine.
I'll throw in a couple of friggin' sharks with laser beams and he will be mine.
You know, I have one simple request. And that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
Oh, I can't watch Donald Trump on TV anymore. Okay. Hal, you said it. It's so many kinds of horrible racism. I'm not even sure what to compare it to. Trump said he and others are still going to have to assess the document's authenticity. We're going to look at it. We're going to have to see if it's real, if it's proper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're qualified to do
right.
What exactly?
I love how he's like, we'll have to have experts look at it. You know, but you had experts telling you all along that the certificate of live birth that you get from
the
Hawaii
wrong kind
is plenty.
Of experts.
Yeah.
They're from Hawaii. What do they know except from surfing?
It's not even part of America.
All right.
Kids. Sexy Liberal Show, Saturday, May 14th in Syracuse, Raleigh-Durham. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Saturday, June 4th, we're coming to Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill. Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. Tickets seriously are going fast. I mean, I'm just not making that pot up.
Nope.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Oh, and Karen, real quick, in Downers Grove, please, please, please don't tease us any longer. I cannot hold my husband back from his insistence on having every spare minute of our time booked for the entire summer. So please, if you have a Chicago date, tell us. Well, just hang on. Just a second.
Downers Grove, gateway to Hinsdale.
Karen's husband, just relax. Pardon me?
Nothing. It's a Chicago joke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, listen, we have, we're having a giddy show. In fact, we've made her wait this long. Carrie Elleveld, who we knew from The Advocate, is now at equalitymatters.org, joins us now. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm fine. It's not often you have to follow a Ruth Gordon impression, but good luck to you.
I'm sorry.
So we have so much to talk about. I want to talk about the challenge to defense of marriage, but I also had to ask you, do you see what they're doing to this poor Prop 8 judge out here in California? They're trying to have them throw out the decision because he's a gay man.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. That's just bald-faced ridiculous. I mean, I have to admit, I haven't followed all the ins and outs of it because all you have to do is look at it at face value and just say, yeah, supposedly this judge wasn't doing his job because, you know, of some sort of personal characteristic, which is just outrageous.
Yeah.
You know, it's outrageous that somehow because someone has, you know, is maybe, you know, a person of color or maybe, you know, their sexual orientation or they're a woman, that they don't step outside of that and view their job in full, professionalism.
They called him being gay a conflict of interest, clearly, because he's in a partnership and so clear. I mean, it's just like, are you kidding me?
By that standard, wouldn't being straight be a conflict of interest?
Right. Absolutely.
Yes. Carrie Elleveld, ladies and gentlemen, with the three-pointer.
Or a Christian, since their entire law is based on the religious aspect of the law.
Let's just throw out all the Christian judges and see who we have left.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Carrie, let's talk about this ridiculous challenge that's costing the taxpayers a bundle to challenge the Defense of Marriage Act. There was, you know, sort of good news, bad news, right? I mean, the firm withdrew, which I think is great, right?
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. But, you know, I think I would agree with that. You know, there's been some controversy surrounding this and their withdrawal. I mean, some people said, well, they shouldn't have felt pressure to withdraw. And, you know, there's questions about why they withdrew. Was it really, you know, that they didn't vet it legally properly, which is what they said within the firm. That was the statement from the firm. Or is it because they felt public pressure and they bowed to that? You know, without getting into answering those questions, I would say that the larger issue here is it does appear that this law firm did not want to have this on their record for whatever reason. Now, people in the legal profession are kind of saying, well, look, you know, everybody needs representation, and it's admirable that even if someone holds an unpopular position, in this case now, we're talking about defending DOMA being an unpopular position. And that, in and of itself,
is a good sign.
Is total progress, right?
Yes.
It's a complete progress from where we were even just 2 years ago. So I think in that sense, this is like a huge tipping point. What you're watching is, legal observers and politicians and people around the nation trying to hit what is a total moving target, because the public opinion on marriage and full equality for, gay and lesbians, bisexual, transgender people, as well as same-sex couples, it is just skyrocketing in a matter of months. Literally, politicians and everybody else involved in any sort of capacity dealing with politics or the law is really doing, they're really doing a dance trying to readjust to what's happening here. And I don't think this is particularly easy. It was a huge blow to Speaker of the House, John Boehner, and this is increasingly difficult for him as well.
Carrie, you make good points, and as you know, I'm a woman a good 2 to 3 minutes ahead of my time, and Hal Sparks and I and John Fugelsang are so excited. We happen to be going to do a show, the Sexy Liberal Show, in Syracuse. May 14th, but we're going to be joining with the marriage equality folks there, because New York, speaking of tipping points, is a big deal right now in marriage equality, right? If New York, particularly in the upstate areas like that where we're going to, where the tide has absolutely turned, I mean, New York is going to be huge if they vote in marriage equality, right?
Well, absolutely. And I mean, New York is pretty much the biggest prize out there right now. California, of course, has, it's just that you're working through a process there, right?
Yeah,
but in terms of having a legislature vote to legalize same-sex marriage, that New York is probably the biggest prize on the docket right now. And, many interesting and positive developments there. I mean, number one, you've got public opinion polls now showing that a majority of New Yorkers support marriage equality. I mean, and a clear majority.
Even upstate white Catholics, which is what I am. I'm from Buffalo, grew up Catholic. And I'm telling you, that's huge, that people upstate.
They're just trying to woo you. They're just trying to woo you there, Stephanie.
Yes,
just get to the heart of the matter there.
Yes.
So, but
Al and I are going in to help.
We're airdropping in.
Yes.
Well, that's great. The other thing, though, is that the governor there, I mean, Governor David Patterson, who preceded Governor Cuomo, he was very pro-same-sex marriage and did a lot to sort of push the issue forward, but he didn't seem to have the reins on the government in the way that Andrew Cuomo does. I mean, the Cuomo operation has been a machine for years, and so, if there's any governor who's going to be able to get this done because he's got his finger on the pulse and knows which levers to pull, it's Governor Cuomo. And he is wholeheartedly in this. He's, working hand in glove with the LGBT organizations who are pushing this. And he knows exactly which buttons to press and is working to press them. And so, I think that there is a lot of hope for this right now. And as you say, with the turn in the upstate public opinion polls, the Republicans, they don't want to mess with that. They really don't.
They're fighting a losing battle, Carrie. And by the time we get there, I think May 14th, we're planning a finale. Hal and I are still working it out, but I think we're going to marry a gay couple, and then we're going to light some frack water on fire, and then we're all going to dance to "Baby, I Was Born This Way." It's
right.
A big
well,
spectacle.
I've been planning my May 14th around your visit to
Thank
Syracuse,
you.
So I will definitely.
Yay.
Now, let's talk about, so Paul Clement is still going to do this ridiculous case, defend this ridiculous unconstitutional law, and I love what he said, having undertaken the representation, I believe there's no honorable course for me to complete it. There's no other honorable course but to gay bash. It's like, what?
You're not doing it for honor, you're doing it for cash.
Yeah, exactly.
Tricky territory, because like I said, there's so many in the legal profession who would go back and say, well, look, I mean, it might have been unpopular years ago to take on a gay client, and yet people did it, although I think people did that out of principle. I mean, they said, I don't know if this is good or bad for my career, but I'm gonna do this out of principle. I mean, to some extent, someone might say or could argue that on principle he's doing this. I mean, it's not the principle that I would want on my record. But the other thing is, it's really interesting in terms of Boehner, because he didn't have to go outside. He didn't have to find outside counsel for this. There are people, there are lawyers that, you know, work for Congress that would have had to take this on. They wouldn't have had a choice. They would have just had to do it. So you didn't have to go out and find outside counsel and then offer to pay that counsel $500,000 of taxpayer money in order to defend something when we're talking about budget issues across the board, when we've got, you know, when Africa is just inflamed with, you know, controversy and strife over there, and we've got so many other issues right now facing America.
That's right.
And he wants to get outside counsel, private counsel.
Ridiculous.
And to me, from a political standpoint, it's much more tricky and weird for Boehner even than it is for Paul Clement.
Yep. Carrie Elleveld, before you go, as the original author of the Gay Agenda at The Advocate, I think it's time for you to come clean to Pat Roberts and take a listen, please.
The left, I mean, it's this culture of death. The far left is livid, you know, about killing babies. They want to do this. They want to destroy. And you go back and, you know, I don't want to, you know, play all this psychological stuff, but nevertheless, if a woman is a lesbian, what advantage does she have over a married woman? Or what deficiency does she have?
Well, she can't have children.
That's exactly right. And so if these married women don't have children, if they abort their babies, then it kind of puts them on a level playing field.
All right, Carrie. Time to... What? Time to fess up. You're trying to just get those straight chicks on that same level softball field with you, aren't you?
That's the whole mission. It's the whole agenda, and I have been found out, Stephanie. I mean, like, you know, I just don't even know what to do with that because I'm backed into a corner and I just can't claw my way out.
Of course. Yeah. Carrie Elleveld, you are a woman and a scholar and a journalist. Carrie Elleveld of EqualityMatters.org. See you next time.
Thanks so much, Stephanie.
Lesbians can't have children. They want to have all the straight married women kill all their babies, and then that way lesbians will rule the world. I'm just riffing here.
Oh, Carrie and I clinked glasses over that last time we saw each other. Yes! Did it! Okay. Right.
To quote Bobcat Goldthwait, what are you talking about?
Okay, thank you. All right. You know, kids, I've told you about carbonite again and again and again. Don't make me tell you again. I get so many letters that somebody forgot to do it. And then they had that inevitable virus. Their computer got stolen. Everything lost. Every file you've got, think about it. Documents, music, manuscripts. If you haven't gotten Carbonite yet, now is the time to do it. Before anything happens to your computer, it automatically backs up those files on your Mac or PC whenever you're connected to the Internet. All right. Plus, Carbonite gives you unlimited backup. And are you ready for this? $59 a year.
What?
Hello. Anytime, anywhere, access to all those backed up files. Go to Carbonite.com right now, today. Use the offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. 20 minutes after the hour. Not often you can stun a brilliant investigative journalist like Carrie Elleveld like that. Pat Robertson has done it. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
We're having a morning. Our Booker's been called the F word for gay man. Hal Sparks has been called a half comedian by our right wing caller.
I can't tell if that was a talent or a height joke. But it was. It's
someone
sort of
writes,
a half joke. So.
You guys are killing me this morning. I drive for a living. Are you trying to make me crash on purpose or what? You damn half-assed funny liberal half-assed people need to stop. We're not doing half bad for half comedians.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Together we make a whole comedian
almost. Technically, it's funny that we're half comedians, but we're twice as funny as as the right is managing today. And it's funny. It's
well, I was saying, I think curious. That's what's making people implode about the sexy liberal tour, because you and John have said from working the comedy clubs, it's a lot of racist and homophobic humor. And this is like turning it on its head and like making fun of the racists and homophobes. And people are like, "What? It's not supposed to be funny. You're supposed to laugh at
not with
gay people and black people."
The last probably 10 minutes of Charmageddon could be described as sex positive feminism. Arguably, and a lot of times I have women come up to me after my shows and go, my boyfriend drags me to comedy clubs all the time because he loves going. I usually feel like crap after I leave, and I didn't tonight, and thank you. And, you know, I'm like,
yes, because
well,
women are all whores if you go to comedy club.
Leave your, you want to feel better? Ditch him. But it's a shock for them sometimes.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like, oh,
yeah,
this isn't,
it's,
I don't
wait
feel
a minute,
bad.
I'm laughing and not making fun of people. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Okay. Whoa, hey, looky here. We gave some of our proceeds, obviously, of Sexy Liberal to United Wisconsin Behind the Recalls.
Yeah.
Those recalls of Democrats not going so well. Not going. Yeah, I remember when I did the right-wing radio show publicizing the sexual liberty. He's like, oh, well, you know, it's a lot of anger here on both sides, all the recalls, all it's all the same. You know how it's all the same.
Yeah.
It's all both sides. It's,
yes.
Yeah, no.
Not so much.
No,
pretty
no,
much,
not really.
You know, finding when you go to a Democrat's house that their wife
fake.
And their housekeeper doesn't want to sign the recall petition on a Democrat? But on a
I did an impression of the people signed, the only people that signed the Democratic, they were like, are you going to give all of my friends shots? What am I signing? What am I... Can I still sign it over the barf? That's the, Those are the,
Does that count as a signature? Yeah, whatever.
There's some orange powder on that.
I'm being paid by
the
Koch-covered
Democratic recalls. But organizers have come short on recall efforts of two Democratic senators target after leaving the state. In protest of Scott Walker's union-bashing bill, organizers for committees to recall Senator Mark Miller and Senator Spencer Coggs failed to turn in recall positions by the deadline. Mm-hmm. And the ones for Republicans have had more than enough signatures way in advance. Isn't that interesting? I mean, so I guess it's not the same on both sides.
What is happening? First of all, nobody's cresting over 22% in who they can pick for president. They're not being able to recall any Democrats. And Atlas Shrugged is tanked at the movie. Season of the Witch made more money than Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah, I know. All right. It's even the Republican, what's his name? Bedhopper.
No, he ran. Randy
Hopper. You know, when the guy's wife signs the recall, that's something. He's not here. He's in Madison with that slap.
He's in back. Sorry.
Sorry. Okay. Mark in San Francisco real quick. Hey, Mark.
Stephanie, do you remember when the Republicans wanted to change the Constitution so Arnold Schwarzenegger could run for president?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, now somebody should ask the Republicans how they feel about that now.
Yeah, based on his spectacular record in California.
Yeah.
Because he did such a good
I'm
job.
I'm an American citizen, and this is called matters.
I like baseball.
He's a giant deficit. I'm going to get back in the chopper now. Enjoy. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour. Dan Savage next.
Very exciting.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I love disco, and I hear it's making a comeback.
34 minutes after the hour. Don't forget tomorrow, David Bender and Rachel Maddow.
Wow.
In hour number one tomorrow. Bob Maddow, her daddy, called earlier. He would like us. He has some instructions for you, Chris. He wants us to play Send in the Clowns whenever we talk about Republicans. Oh, and he also didn't. He said Rachel didn't tell him, which I can't believe that. Next to her winning a Rhodes Scholarship or getting a Tyrone television show, I can't imagine that she didn't tell him the amazing news that she's going to be on the Stephanie Miller Show. Of all the accomplishments in her life, it's amazing that she would neglect that. All right.
She forgot to tell him I'm following her on Twitter, too. And I just.
What?
I don't know.
Priorities, Rachel. Priorities. Okay. All right. We've been trying to get this guy on forever. I'm such a huge fan. I did the It Gets Better video. Did you do one of those?
Yes, I did.
All right. Dan Savage joins us now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming on. I've loved you for years.
Oh, thank you for having me, and thank you guys for contributing to the It Gets Better project.
Of course. Hey, Dan.
Hey.
It is, I mean, seriously, isn't it amazing how you can always say, like, it's the best ideas sometimes that are the simplest? And you talk about how you got this idea that you were saying a lot of these kids, you can't get into schools to go see them in person, and you're thinking with social media, why do we need to do that, right?
Yeah, the idea was these kids need to know that it gets better. These kids who are bullied and 14 years old and gay, and they think that, you know, there's not enough pleasure and joy coming later in their lives to compensate for the pain they're in now. And, you know, they know there are happy gay adults out there, but they don't know how you get to go from being the bullied 14-year-old kid to that happy gay adult. And, you know, so many of us who are gay and adult, we walk that path, but they don't know us. They don't have access to us. We would never get permission to talk to these kids, particularly the ones who most need to hear from us, the ones who are being bullied by their families, too. Mm-hmm. And it just occurred to me that I was waiting for permission in the YouTube era. I didn't need anymore, and I could make a video and speak directly to them instead of just feeling bad every time I read about a Billy Lucas or Justin Aberg that I didn't know that kid myself and couldn't have reassured him before he harmed himself that things were going to get better for him and he should hang in there.
Well, Dan, you know, it's interesting. Hal and I were just talking about this over the weekend, that it really must be depressing for you. Like, for instance, in Tennessee, have you heard this Don't Say Gay bill that's going through that will make it illegal to even mention homosexuality in you know, I believe up through, I don't even know what it is, high school or something. I mean, it just, and that's exactly what you're combating. A lot of these schools, go ahead.
It's through eighth grade, and, you know, the bill, the sponsors of the bill and the people who back it have this idea that if you don't say the word gay in front of children, that none of them will be gay when they
right.
grow up.
That's what it is. It's the most amazing act of hypnotism in the world. The word gay is so super powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
you've got to wonder what these people think about heterosexuality, that it's such a delicate flower.
Oh, we're teetering on the brink. Dan, yeah, I got to tell you, my fingernails are in the edge of heterosexuality every day as I just, I can't hold on.
You're barely
man.
Hanging on, man.
How do you not get sucked into
You're getting that secondhand gay.
I just look at a Wizard of Oz DVD and I turn gay.
Exactly.
Well,
that's a new argument they're making, that homosexuality is more harmful than secondhand smoke. It's like secondhand smoke.
Sure.
Apparently,
yes.
Every time my boyfriend has an orgasm, it floats through the air and up the nostrils of my heterosexual neighbor.
Dan, I am sitting here next to human science experiment Hal Sparks. How many years of Queer as Folk didn't make him gay? There is no such thing as secondhand gay.
Believe me, if it was that simple, and everybody knows what a man slut I am, if it was just a matter of what was the easier route as far as getting laid, being on that show alone should have softballed me into the major leagues.
Yeah, I think if it was a choice, more straight guys would choose it because you'd get a lot more head.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Dan Louise Savage. Dan, Hal just retweeted the Sarah Silverman thing that, you know, just telling kids that there are left-handed people isn't going to make them left-handed.
Yeah,
and
right.
That's exactly what you're saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, and what's really dangerous about the bill is most kids who are coming out now, young, are coming out in middle school.
Right.
So if you have a situation where this kid is in 6th, 7th, or 8th grade and reaches out to a teacher because they're being bullied at school or bullied at home, the teacher legally can't even respond to the kid, couldn't direct him to It Gets Better or Glisten or Trevor, the Trevor Project, which talks kids out of killing themselves.
Right.
The teacher couldn't even do that because they can't say the word gay without risking losing a job.
Dan, I work with Trevor Project, and I've been in the call center, and it's amazing stuff that you're doing and people like they're doing, because like you say, I don't think people realize the relentless bullying that goes on day after day, and you're exactly right. They don't know how they're going to survive that to get to adulthood.
Yeah, when a kid who's bullied at school because of his race or his religion or even class, there's a lot of class-based bullying that goes on that no one ever acknowledges, like the poor kids
absolutely.
Who get picked on. They go home to parents who are of the same race, same class, same religious background, who got through what they're going through now and can offer advice and a perspective. The gay kid goes home to parents who didn't walk it, even if they're supportive, and they're often not. And so they don't have that shoulder to cry on. They don't have that adult who got through exactly what they're going through, who can tell them, you know, give them hope just by existing and having survived it, that they too can survive it. And that's what the It Gets Better Project provides for these kids. And we're hearing from kids and parents all over the country. You know, I'm always saying that what's so beautiful about the It Gets Better Project is we're now talking to these kids whether their parents want us to or not.
Yeah.
And what's actually happening is, you know, so many parents are so grateful because they didn't know how to even address these issues with their kids. And also, you know, what's going to happen is a lot of these parents, they don't want us talking to their kids right now, but they'll be grateful that we did in 10 years.
Well, absolutely. You know, Dan, I was reading an interview with you, and I was so struck by the fact I just watched Prayers for Bobby not long ago, which, you know, I'm sure you have seen, is just so powerful, about this very religious mother who thought she was doing the right thing. Her son, gay son, killed himself. And then, you know, now, of course, she's become a huge gay rights advocate. But you say in this interview, you say, my parents are very Catholic and very religious. And at the time, you thought about suicide. You said, I thought I would be the good son by killing myself. It would be the right thing to do for my parents. It would be easier for them to have a dead child than a gay child.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, more parents need to realize that they can't, by communicating their disapproval to their children, they're not going to make them straight, but they do risk making them dead.
Yeah.
And what's really vicious about the religious conservatives is we know that gay kids 4 times likelier to attempt suicide. Queer kids whose families are hostile, 8 times likelier. Wow. And that is exactly the advice that religious conservatives give, evangelical conservatives give to the parents of gender nonconforming and queer kids. Reject them, be hostile, tell them you'll never accept their sexuality. And they do this knowing that they are doubling an already quadrupled risk of suicide for that kid.
Dan, it makes me furious, as I sure it does you, when these right-wing groups argue that the reason there's more suicide is because they're gay, because they're living a, you know, whatever, unhealthy lifestyle.
The lifestyle, yeah. As opposed to the abuse that they simply suffer for being that. It's the same argument.
They have no credibility. They argue, you know, out of one side of their mouths that look how dangerous the gay lifestyle is. These kids are killing themselves, and this and that. And then they block all attempts to institute anti-bullying programs that will bring down the rate of gay teen suicide. And they encourage parents to do exactly what we know will lead to gay teen suicides. It is a rhetorical and moral victory for the religious right and the Tony Perkins and Maggie Gallagher's of the world every time a gay kid takes their life. Mm. It's what they're after.
Dan, you grew up in Chicago, a conservative Catholic family, but, you know, and you point out that, I mean, obviously social media didn't exist then, but, you know, what you're doing with it gets better. It really is. I know you just compared it to the revolutions in the Middle East and stuff. I mean, it is amazing through YouTube and Twitter and Facebook how we can reach people, right?
Yeah, I actually had a kind of an It Gets Better project for me. I was lucky enough, you know, I think it was Billy Lucas whose suicide in September inspired the creation of the project. Growing up in Greensburg, Indiana, there are no gay adults there. The gay adults have left as soon as they possibly could, a place like Greensburg, Indiana.
Right.
But I grew up in the city of Chicago, and I was, you know, Billy Lucas's age in 1980. And I would leave the house and I would see gay people. And they were really my It Gets Better project. But, you know, I would see a gay couple in a restaurant or a gay couple at the movies, and I would think, okay, they made it, they're okay, I'll be okay. And really what the It Gets Better project does is it provides exactly that sort of experience for kids who are in places where there aren't gay adults.
Right.
Well, I know that, you know, when I've been in the call center at Trevor, Dan, that, you know, obviously they always say, you know, do you feel safe coming out? I mean, they don't necessarily say come out if you're not in an area where you feel safe.
There's a lot of bad advice that flops around out there on the internet for gay kids, that, you know, coming out is the solution to all your problems, or you know, getting a boyfriend is the solution. For a lot of gay kids, coming out is the beginning of problems, and a boyfriend is the beginning of a whole new set of challenging adult problems. 40% of homeless teenagers are queer kids who were thrown out after they came out or were outed to their families. And so it's really irresponsible of gay adults just to shrug and tell gay teenagers, oh, come out and it'll be fine.
Right.
When so many of them, when they come out, it's a disaster for them.
I love how you wrote about your inspiration for starting It Gets Better. You know, Billy, the gay Indiana teenager killed himself. You said, I wish I could have told Billy it gets better. I wish I could have told him that however bad things were, however isolated and alone he was, it gets better. And then you said you used to stop waiting for permission to talk to these kids. And I think you've probably saved countless lives, Dan.
Mm-hmm. We've heard from so many people, from so many teenagers. And one of the beautiful things about the project is everyone who's contributed a video has created their own YouTube account. So kids who've been moved by a particular video, who've responded on YouTube in the comments or via the email, those notes and comments go directly to the person who made the video. And so many people have wound up forming bonds and offering advice and you know, how to cope and how to get through it to gay kids. It's really been a remarkable thing. And not because, you know, I'm magic and I'm not.
Yes, you are.
What's been remarkable about it is what's made it have the impact is the participation of so many different folks all over the country, including you guys, and all over the world now.
Yeah, Dan, I must tell you, rather ironically, though, I was actually bullied by my executive producer for doing my It Gets Better video because he mocked me for being old enough to mention Phyllis Schlafly, and he said, none of the kids know what you're talking about, you old political geek. But I was trying to make a point that this, you know, because I talk about politics, Dan, that this is not a partisan issue anymore, that Dick Cheney has a gay daughter and Phyllis Schlafly has a gay son and Newt Gingrich has a gay sister. And my point that I made in the video is that this is about being able to look in your loved one's eyes and just say, I love you, but I don't believe you deserve the same rights I have. And less and less people are able to do that, and that's why the polls are going where they're going.
Right.
Absolutely. And they're going that way because so many people are out to their families now. It's the single most important act you can take, but you shouldn't take it until you're in a safe place where it's safe to take that, that step.
Well, it does get better. I like you write how hilarious it is that you parlayed the dirtiest sex column in the world into op-eds in the New York Times.
It's the times they are a-changing.
They regularly demean themselves by letting me run my byline on their op-ed pages. I don't understand it.
That's the spirit.
Dan, we are in the I seriously do believe that we're in the tipping point in, like, the civil rights battle in our generation. And, you know, I just am proud to serve on the front lines with you, Dan. And so it's nice to meet you finally.
Nice to meet you, too. And you, too, Hal.
Absolutely, brother.
I loved Queer as Folk, and you were very convincing during the gay sex scenes, I must say.
You're welcome.
he's an actor, damn it.
I will say that pre It Gets Better, a lot of times I would get a lot of letters about how kids would watch the show with their parents, and that was their way of leading them into, like, look, this is who I am. And parents would watch the show knowing they had a gay kid who was out of the house.
And the parents would go, oh, no, you want to be a comedian like Hal Sparks? No, that's not what
I meant. They literally would watch the show and go, I can't believe I sent my son out of the house, because of this frightened feeling I had about what he is and who he is, and I want him back. And I had a letter from a father who was very right-wing, and who had kicked his son out for being gay, and his wife and he wrote this letter to the whole cast saying, we just wept at the time we lost with our child. But he's back now.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Moving on all fronts, you know, cultural things like Queer as Folk and now Modern Family, even Glee, very important, and actually
very much so.
Move the needle on our issue.
Yeah, Dan, it's, you know, we all have our stories. I was in Seattle the day after I came out, and this beautiful 16-year-old girl and whole family came up and hugged me, and we all just cried, and they just said, thank you, you gave our daughter the courage to come out. And, you know, Randy Rhodes is sitting next to me. She goes, that's the most beautiful thing I ever saw, that you just gave that beautiful girl the chance to think she can be beautiful and successful and whatever. And it's just, you know, you're right, Dan. It's just, we're all like one little, you know, cog in the machine, you know. But it's the new book is It Gets Better, coming out, Overcoming Bullying, Creating a Life Worth Living. Dan Savage, what an honor. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
All Thanks, right. Dan. Thank you, Dan. Yes. There we go.
I think we should outlaw the words homophobic. Redneck moron in schools, so in hopes that phenomenon just disappears.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, 48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
That seems logical. 52 minutes after the hour. Speaking of logic, Adam writes, "Whoo! Thank God for Pat Robertson. Without him, we wouldn't know that when you become a lesbian, your uterus falls out." Yes.
Yikes.
Thank God for Pat Robertson biology. Hal and I just disproved that, because Hal, as we all know, resurrected my dead eggs. He gave my girlhood back. Take that, Pat Robertson.
Wow.
Speaking of It Gets Better, Jim Ward, the official pessimist of the Stephanie Miller Show, has an exciting announcement.
I'm starting my It Gets Worse campaign in a series of videos documenting how
it gets worse.
Growing old is really, really, really sucks.
For everybody. But it's a great unifying act, because gay, straight,
life's a bitch, starts in the third grade.
Yeah.
Things look the darkest just before it goes totally
completely black.
Black,
yeah.
And I think it should be, and it gets worse, with just kind of like redneck homophobic jocks who just kind of do these videos where they're losing their hair and they're in their early 30s and they're like, I don't know what happened. I just got all fat after. And it was like great in high school and then everything went downhill.
It was great when I was shoving the gay guys into the lockers and stuff. And then I don't know.
I lost my job at the Piggly Wiggly.
My wife left me just after, something about a restraining order.
And all these gay guys got big jobs and all this kind of money.
Well, and they're all happy. What's going on?
The hell? How'd that happen?
I mean, now I realize I'm Speaker of the House, but no one takes me seriously because I'm a straight George color.
I must have shoved that David Geffen into a locker 1,000 times.
Why didn't it work?
Now he's, damn it. Now, they just repossessed my car.
My whole world was turned upside down.
I'm having to comb my back hair up over my head.
They
like
didn't just
Benny
repossess
Hinn.
My car. I'd drive to Hollywood and shove David Geffen into a locker again, that rich bastard.
Still doesn't work. Look at the big smile on his face.
That was another little impromptu skit by the Stephanie Miller Players. Thank you. Thank you.
I would shove them into the lockers, but all my joints have turned to dust.
I think we should start that, Hal. We should start it. It gets worse
it gets
campaign
worse.
For old homophobes.
I don't understand it. These cultural Marxists are moving in and they're stealing it. I don't understand it. Why is everybody but me so happy?
There's a black guy in the White House.
How did that happen? I didn't get a memo or nothing.
God wouldn't have called it a White House if he wanted a black man in there.
Right. Black people built it for free. That's not right. He can't live in it now. That's like letting them build their own homes. What is the world coming to? Boy, you seem a lot taller on the radio.
Taking another sip of my frothy latte Santorum.
Look at the record. The record is one of accomplishment of conservative principles and the ability to articulate that and get votes across the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Who's he talking about?
Himself. Santorum. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. To whom?
Well, he's very articulate about the man on dog thing.
Yeah.
Oh, Tim Pawlenty, who said he's not sure if homosexuality is a health risk or not.
But these early polls don't mean much, as you know. They're mostly name ID polls. Only about half the people who are Republicans in the country even know who I am.
Yes. Well, the more they get to know you, I'm sure the less they will like you.
He's unsure about the wisdom of funding bridge construction and maintenance.
I think the half of Republicans are the ones who didn't actually choose him in the poll. Those are the ones who are aware of who he is.
And the wildly unpopular Mittens.
If we want to create jobs for all Americans, we have to have a leader who understands how the economy works and how to compete with other nations and companies around the world.
Oh, he's sounding desperate already, isn't he?
Gosh.
He's polling lower than Sarah Palin now.
Yeah.
Gingrich are on the same level.
Yeah, we need a president who can take the stock market from 6,500 to 12,000 in 2 years.
Oh, wait.
Look at that.
We have one. Sonia in L.A. on the Trump. Pster.
Hi,
Hello.
Feel bad after following people like Carrie Elliville and Dan Savage talking serious issues.
Yes.
And I don't understand why the log cabin people even follow people like Santorum, who says gays have enough rights already. But the reason I called is that there's a fellow that put up a blog spot, and I heard about it on Tom Hartman's email newsletter April 19th. It's called TrumpBirthersBlogspot.com, and it proves that the guy was born in South Africa.
Right.
And he came over to America 15 years after he was born. So now that Obama's shown his birth certificate, I say, where's yours, Trump? And I'd like to see your school records, too, after that slight about not being Harvard material.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Cindy and Madison on Trump before we go. Hello, Cindy.
First of all, I want to thank you so much for coming to Madison. We were honored and we loved it.
Aw, we loved you back.
Thank you. Just regarding Trump, first of all, he is a phony and a coward, and it doesn't take any experts to figure that out.
Yeah, and a racist.
But I'm a huge phony and coward.
Well, his promoting himself by shooting his mouth off at another's expense is so Republican. He has nothing over the country, and he knows it.
Yep.
And he is self-serving, arrogant, racist, and a bully and nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. And he did. He proved that much. He proved he's a Republican, for sure. I'm not telling that anymore. All right. Hal Sparks in Seattle Friday night. Go see him. HalSparks.com, the website. Love you, Chris. Love you, Jim. Love you, Rebecca. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show with Rachel Maddow.